Good evening. A few Wednesday nights ago, we started what was supposed to be one sermon on navigating social media. This was a request, particularly from the elders, but from some others as well. And so, again, what started as one wound up in two, and then it wound up into three. We were supposed to finish this last Wednesday night, but my family and I were not here, and so we did not do that. Tonight, typically, the first Wednesday night of the month, we study a minor prophet, but I thought we'd just push that to next week, and let's just finish up this little series of sermons so that we're not too far removed and forget everything we've already learned. But yeah, social media is a huge part of our lives today. It started off just as a social networking thing, and it has become much, much bigger than that. Most communication, advertisement, sharing of file, I mean, all kinds of things that today and more is just done through so many of these platforms. And so, like everything else, it's important for us as God's people to not only talk about how to navigate these things in ways that keep us in a right standing with Him, but how to navigate these kinds of things that we can have a positive influence on those around us and those that interact with us and these kinds of things. And so we talked about how we have to be on guard against compartmentalizing Christianity. In other words, we act and we put on a certain front while we are here, right? But we want to make sure that what people see when we are here is the same thing they see when we're at a restaurant or we're in the bank or when they're on our profile page or reading what we've posted or seeing what we've posted, those kinds of things. We talked about how we have to be holy as He is holy. Not only is that an Old Testament reference, but even Peter uses that to remind us that's still true today. Our conduct in social media platforms matters just as much as our conduct everywhere else. We've talked about how, as our brother just read, we are tested by our praise. What you like, what you praise, what you share, what you submit, what you post, all of that is a reflection. That other people, when they see that you are the one doing those things, it's a reflection on what's going on in our hearts. And that kind of is a reflection in a way. So then we took a little children's song. We reminded ourselves of some important kind of general rules of thumb, right? Careful little eyes what you see. Careful little ears what you hear. Careful little mouth what you say. We talked about that just because it's out there doesn't mean we need to be looking at it as Christians. There's a lot of things on those platforms that really aren't healthy for us to be looking at and feasting our eyes upon. We also talked about how we as Christians need to make sure we're not putting things out there that is really not appropriate. We talked about we don't have to read everything that's out there. Just because everyone wants to put it all out there does not mean it's healthy for us to digest that on a constant basis. We also need to make sure that we're not putting negative things or, you know, edgy things out there. And even, of course, little mouth what you say. More so about when we see things, and we're going to talk a little bit more about this tonight, when we see things, social media is not the platform for Christians to work out differences. Social media is not the platform for Christians to go out there and vent or gossip or tell the world how upset we are with so-and-so and have these arguments or discussion. That is meant to be done person to person. And so, again, we're going to wrap this up tonight. I want to, on your notes, I tricked you. I actually decided to change it up in my notes. But we're actually going to start about halfway down on your page, and we're going to work through that section first, and then we're going to come back up. So on the first slide, yes, I know it's different, but you'll get it. We're going to talk about the counting the cost. As you've been listening over the last two lessons on this, we have talked about things that are natural warnings from God's Word. We have talked about some of the dangers we have mentioned. We're even tonight going to talk about some of the positive things. And so as you and I think about, am I going to use this? Am I going to continue to use this? We need to count the cost. We're going to talk about this just a second. And then we're going to talk about if you still choose to use it, that if you do so responsibly, it has a lot of benefits. And we want to talk about ways that we can do that in a godly way that will have great benefit to us and to the gospel. So let's pray together. And then we'll study this topic again together. Our God and our Father, we are again thankful for the avenue of prayer. We're thankful that we can again assemble tonight to edify one another and encourage one another. to do so by learning more about you and the wisdom that you have shared with us through your revealed word. And we know that through this revealed word, Father, we get a glimpse of your character. We know you. We get to see what your will is for our lives and who the kind of people you would have us to be. And there are so many different layers in our lives, so many different venues that we find ourselves working in and around in this life as we conduct ourselves day to day. And Father, give us the faith and give us the diligence, the commitment to be the same people everywhere, to be your people that are set apart, that are holy, that's different from the world around us in the way that reflects your Son's character and your character and your will. And help others see you and your Son through us. And help us have a proactive mindset to share the good news of your grace and your mercy and your steadfast love for us and for others. Help us in everything that we do, let that be seen and heard in our lives. And in these platforms, these new technologies, things we will talk about again tonight, Father, help us give these things careful consideration, knowing that there is responsibility laid upon us with every decision that we make. And no matter what choice we make, whether to use them or not, Father, help us do that according to our faith and to your will. And for those that choose to use these platforms, help that be a benefit to your kingdom and to the spreading of your word. Help others see us as Christians and help them be impacted in a positive way to give us opportunity to share your good news with them. It's in all these things in your Son's name we pray. Amen. All right. So as we said, you've been listening over the last few lessons, and for some of you, maybe you've never used it. Maybe you're considering it. This is helpful. Here's all the dangers I need to be on guard against. Here's some positive things. Maybe you've been using it, and if you've done what I asked you to do earlier in the first lesson, kind of put all that aside and really look at this objectively, everything comes down to counting the cost. Y'all remember Jesus' words in Luke 14? This is Jesus' words in response to, if you're going to follow me, if you're going to take on being a disciple, he says you need to count the cost. Which of you desiring to build a tower does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. I want to give you three things tonight, at least three things that I think are principles from God's word that are we can attach to this in principle that I would encourage you to count the cost. Something you need to consider. For some of these things, it's going to depend upon your own self-discipline and your own choice. One, not so much. But the first one is, this is probably, again, halfway down your page, that's counting the cost. The first thing we need to understand is that with knowledge comes responsibility. You've probably heard that phrase many times, with knowledge comes responsibility. I will tell you that phrase, with knowledge comes responsibility, phrase for phrase, word for word, it is not found in your Bibles anywhere. However, I believe it's a phrase that reflects a general truth and a principle that we do find in Scripture, right? Whether you're thinking of, we can think of Matthew chapter 5, where I have aught with a brother or a sister in Christ. There is something between us that is wrong. I can't just act like it doesn't exist and ignore it and still worship and be, no, God says, Jesus says, you need to leave your gift at the altar and go and seek to reconcile first, right? In Matthew 18, Jesus gets a little bit more specific because of the context. They're arguing, sin is involved, and it's the phrase, well, if your brother sins against you. Some people want to be very literal with that. That this is really only applying to when someone has literally offended me, okay? And that's true, that applies. But Jesus says if someone has sinned or sinned against you, you don't just ignore it. You go to them. Because you care about them, you love them, and you want to reconcile. You want them to repent, if in fact they do need to repent. And you want to receive your brother back. Even in Luke 17, it doesn't have the word against you. It's just when your brother, if you see your brother sin, you go and rebuke him, right? Those are three. There's even more principles, of course. I don't think anyone here would at least verbally put into words, Everett, I'm okay with seeing brothers and sisters in Christ committing things that are sinful and wrong. And I'm okay with just not saying it. I'm okay with them just continuing down that path. None of us would say that out loud, right? Well, when you think about the social media platforms, With knowledge comes responsibility. A choice that we make when we decide, am I going to use these or not, is that I am making the choice that, well, if in fact on this pertaining to brothers and sisters in Christ, if I see a brother and sister in Christ doing something or involved in something that I know is wrong, I'm accepting the responsibility given to me by God through Scripture to go to that person. Remember the last lesson, not on social media, preferably, you know, personally, right? I'm accepting the responsibility that I'm gonna do something about that because I love my brother or sister in Christ. But the problem, the challenge, one of the biggest challenges I think we have as a church universally is that we've all been there. You see a picture. You read a comment or whatever. Everything we just talked about, you have some concern. You're troubled by what you've just read or what you've just seen. What do we do? How many times do we find ourselves where everyone is talking about what they saw or read on Facebook? I keep using Facebook because it's the most popular, right? And someone finally asks the question, well, has anybody gone and talked to this brother or sister in Christ about that? And guess what? Usually, more often than not, the answer is no. But we will go talk about it to our spouse. We'll make sure that either we pick up the phone and we will call our spouse because you don't believe what I just saw on Facebook. Or we'll get to the building and we'll walk in and we got to share it with other people. And AKA, that's gossip. It doesn't matter if it's your spouse. It doesn't matter if it's your family, friend, close friend, other brother. It's gossip. That's one of the big concerns that I have. Another concern that I have is that again, as we just illustrated, something is seen on Facebook. Someone is definitely in the wrong and then people are talking about it and maybe somebody even liked it. But to know that so many other brethren have seen this and didn't do a thing. Maybe you're thinking, well, I don't talk. I keep my mouth shut. But that's almost even worse. You see it. You know it's wrong. You know they're brothers and sisters in Christ, and everyone just ignores it, right? We sometimes talk about people who approve, again, like it. But I'm really more concerned about brethren who see it and say nothing. Imagine the impact that it would have had if even just recently, and that's all I'll say, if just recently a brother and sister and or was doing something the majority of people in this room just tonight knew was wrong. Imagine the impact it would have had if everybody who saw that on Facebook would have reached out privately and said, hey, you got like a few minutes today? I need to talk to you because there's something, you just posted this and I'm not sure that that's okay and I need to talk to you about that because I'm concerned about your soul. Romans 1:21-23 talks about people who not only practice evil, but people who give approval of those who do such things. Jesus in John chapter 9, Jesus said, if you were blind, you would have no guilt, but now that you say we see, in other words, now that you say you have knowledge, your guilt remains. James 4:17, he who knows the right thing to do and doesn't do it, to him it is sin. Here's counting the cost, number one. There are ways, and we're fixing to talk about them, we're going to end the night on a positive. There are ways for you to use these things in a positive, holy, uplifting, beneficial way. But understand that you are accepting the responsibility as a Christian to say, God, as I use these things, if I have knowledge of a brother or sister in Christ doing something that I know is sinful or is leading to sin, because you love them and I'm supposed to love them, I will overcome self and I will reach out to them and say something because I care about their soul. I would suggest to you that that is the cost of using social media. If you're not prepared to pay that cost, then we need to reconsider whether or not we're going to use it or not. Secondly, off of that, probably one of the biggest things not only talked about, reasons why a lot of people get off of it, studies have been done that have proven, this is not my opinion, proven the addictive nature of a lot of things like this, is of course the time that it takes. Probably one of the biggest complaints and reasons people attribute to their decision to get off of it sometimes is because of the amount of time they realized that it was sucking out of their day. This is really the cost. It's going to depend on your own personal self-discipline, right? Side note, for everyone in the room who's not on social media, you are not allowed to look down your nose at anybody else, because while you may not be on social media, time on Fox News, MSNBC, CNN, Netflix, Hulu, Prime Video, Disney Plus, which ones am I missing? Those are equally time constrictors. It's the same thing. So again, just because you're not on social media, there are other outlets that we sometimes find ourselves just getting sucked into. Today, as you know, most of your phones, well, especially if you have an Apple because you're a Christian, right? You have a setting. They just built it in. What does that tell you? They just built it in. It used to be an app separated. Now it's just literally built in to tell you how much time you're spending on your phone on all these different apps. Y'all know I'm going to Ephesians chapter 5. It's classic. Ephesians chapter 5. It's about how we walk in our daily walk. We're Christians. We have a daily walk. We're walking in love. We're not walking according to the darkness. We're walking as children of light. But he says, but you need to look carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So, y'all know that passage? Y'all can quote it. And yet too often, for a lot of us, myself included, we look back at the day and we realize how much time I spent watching some of those movies or TV shows or videos or reading this or reading Twitter or it's... And there's so much more to be doing. Children who really aren't having a whole lot of interaction with their parents because their parents are glued to cell phones or tablets or laptops or TVs. It can cost a lot of time. You've got to be mindful of that. And as we make these decisions, ask yourself, where am I going to cut that off? And am I willing to pay that particular price? And lastly, on the considering the cost, it can enable, going to Philippians chapter 2, it can enable an unbalanced focus really on ourselves in two ways. Sometimes through social media, because it is all about people and everyone's putting themselves out there and we get to look at what everyone posts and all the pictures and all these different things. Sometimes the focus can really start for some people getting all about how great my life is. I want everyone to see and perceive me as just having an awesome day and an awesome this and an awesome that. And look how well my life is put together, because no one takes the really ugly photos, and right? No one does that. And so it really becomes all about us. Pride and vanity creeps in, and people think their minds are just constantly thinking of what to post next, to be witty or to be funny or to be whatever. Philippians chapter 2. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceitedness, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also the interest of others. It's not about you. Pride is never viewed in a positive light. And too often, if you're not careful and you're not diligent and responsible, that could be a particular cost. Or it could be on the other side. It's not really so much about you, but it's really so much about everybody else. You're more of the person who is consuming everything, and you spend your day, your mornings, your evenings just really just constantly looking at how awesome everybody else's lives are. And all you can think about is how awesome and great their lives are, how well put together they are, how good they have it. And then you start finding yourself just sinking more and more because you find yourself feeling down and depressed. And my life doesn't look like that. I wish I had that. I wish my relationship. Y'all have heard the phrase, comparison robs you of true joy. And if you're not careful, if you're not responsible, it can wind up being so much about other people and what you perceive they have and all those different things. You find yourself worrying. You find yourself down. And we talked about this a little bit about anxiety on Sunday, right? Remember from Matthew chapter 6? You can't pursue all the things of this life and God at the same time. It's not possible. Verse 24, no one can serve two masters. Either you'll hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. But you cannot serve God and money. You can't pursue treasures here and treasures there at the same time. It's just not possible. Verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So don't let it be all about other people. Yes, there is a responsible way to share, especially with family sharing photos and they get to see with the grandkids and all those. Like, yeah, those are all good things. But don't allow yourself to get sucked in so much that now you're comparing yourself and you're feeling down on yourself because you perceive they have things so much better than you do. And by the way, we all know they don't. Every time you think someone's life is perfect because of what the picture looks like, you know it's not because nobody has that perfect life, right? All right, that's all the negative stuff. Anybody got any more points you want to add, right? Okay, no more. Now let's talk about some positive things. Because while you consider the cost, there are some people in this audience that will say, because of all that, because I know myself, it's not healthy for me to use this. But there are a lot of other people who say, I understand all those warnings. They are warnings from God's word. I need to heed those, and I need to be diligent, and I need to be responsible, and I believe I can do that. And that's a positive thing. And for those that can, there's a lot of good blessings, and I've got three main ones for you tonight. Number one, you get to express yourself. Now, in a previous lesson, we talked about how people get on social media, and that's what it's all about. You get to express yourself, and we talked about how sometimes that's not always a good thing. Because sometimes people don't know when to stop expressing themselves, right? But that's actually a principle in Scripture that's beneficial for us. You get to, through these outlets, say, this is me. And this me is, I'm a child of God. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm a Christian. I worship with people at the Trenton Church of Christ. You get to express the things that you believe in, where you stand, to have an impact on other people. Is that not what Jesus tells us to do in Matthew chapter 5? He says, Matthew 5, not Matthew 6, you are the light of the world. You're like a city that's set on a hill and cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but put it on a stand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Now, in chapter 6, Jesus is going to clarify. He says, it's not about pride. Don't do things to be seen, to elevate yourself, essentially what he's saying. But Matthew 5, Jesus is like, listen, I want people, if you're my people and you're set apart and you're sanctified and you're holy, I want you to be seen. I want people to see you. It doesn't make any sense to light a candle and then put a basket over the top. That doesn't make any sense. You need to shine my light to those around you. If you use social media responsibly and you can keep those parameters in check, you have a great network to do that. You can do that with hundreds and hundreds of people who aren't even close by. People who aren't Christians yet, people who are just acquaintances or just friends that maybe they're going through a hard time, and you have that opportunity to express yourself. It's the mindset that I'm going to use this. I'm going to use this, network it as if I'm going to for God's glory, and I'm going to take the opportunities to share something about Jesus. Look at Matthew chapter 10 real quick. Actually, I'm sorry. 1 Peter 2. I'm getting ahead of myself. 1 Peter chapter 2. We read this one the other day as well. You are a chosen race. Verse 9, you're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. A people for his own possession. Why? That you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Because once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you would not receive mercy, but now you have received mercy. Right? Jesus, Peter says, listen, you're this special people, and you're to proclaim things, right? You get to do that through social media when you use it responsibly, and that's a great thing. And because of that, tied to that, you get to evangelize the truth. While being careful and mindful about what we hear, what we see, what we say, you get the opportunity to use your circle of influence and all those friends you have to influence them in a positive way. You get to share the good news, and it's really simple. we make evangelism complicated. Evangelism and sharing, it's here's God's message. And we take it over here and we say, here you go. Right? We're going to talk about Jonah next Wednesday night, and that's, Jonah got in the way of that. You get to do that in ways that previous to however many years ago social media started, it really couldn't be done that quickly, that widespread. We get the opportunity to spread that much and that fast, right? Now go to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, of course, Jesus talks about sharing, talking to others about who he is. We know this passage in verse 32 and verse 33. Jesus would say, everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who's in heaven. Whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. Jesus is saying, I want you to talk to other people about me. And if you can use social media responsibly, you have a great opportunity to say, I can use this platform to send out things about Jesus all the time. Things about God all the time. Things about worship all the time. I can invite others. I can send passages. I can do all kinds of things and take those opportunities. Skip down to verse 40. This is a question for you. Jesus would also go on to say, whoever receives you receives me. And whoever receives me receives him who sent me. Right? That's interesting to me. Let me ask you a question. Just a question for you to think about. It's a thought question. There's multiple layers to it, multiple answers. Is it possible, as a true child of God who's really striving to be a child of God, is it possible for someone to receive me without receiving Jesus? Is it really possible, as a striving to be a Christian, is it really possible for someone to truly know me without knowing Jesus? I don't know that it is. I'm not saying that's indicative of them necessarily deciding to obey the gospel. But can they know me and not know at least what I know and believe about my Savior? If the answer is yes, we have a problem. But through social media, you get a chance to share. I love the fact that those that I know of, and sometimes people just screenshot it and send it to me. I love those of you who are out there saying, listen, every Wednesday, I'm going to take a picture and I'm going to put a passage next to it and I'm going to send it out to a whole bunch of people. I love to hear about people sharing sermons or sharing articles or sharing, well, we used to have meetings, just sharing things and using that as a tool. It's a great way to do that. And thus, you get to encourage people, right? You get the blessing of encouraging people who really need it, sometimes in a way that others can't. In other words, oftentimes, for those of us who are not on social media, we are the last to know. And we know that. We counted that cost and we accepted it. But here's the other thing about this. There's a lot of times, for some reason, face-to-face, we don't really open up. When's the last time you ran into somebody, another brother or sister in Christ, and you're at Walmart or bank, whatever. You run into somebody and you say, hey, how's it going? And they just say, well, Everett, you wouldn't believe I just had the worst week in my life, and let me tell you all 50 reasons why. No. They always just say, yeah, I'm doing all right. But for some reason, I don't know why, but for some reason, people go home in the privacy of their own homes behind a cell phone, tablet, or a computer, and sometimes they get on these social media platforms, and for some reason, there they feel safe to kind of open up a little bit. There they kind of feel safe to kind of put out there, today was just not really a good day. Well, for those of you who use it and using it responsibly, that's a blessing because you have that in, right? You can see that before anyone else does, or at least those who don't have it. And you have that opportunity to say, let me reach out to this person and encourage. Let me find out what's really going on. How can I uplift them? How can I send them something that maybe would encourage them, right? Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 6. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. if that's prophecy in proportion to your faith, if it's in service to our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts, that's encouragement. And his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Skip down to verse 15. You rejoice with those who rejoice and you weep with those who weep. And what I'm suggesting to you is that I can see how those who are using this responsibly have opportunities, sometimes more so than those who don't, to see what's going on, to hear what's going on. And if we're being mindful of that and we're watching for it, you have so much opportunity to encourage, to pray for people, to reach out, know what's going on, maybe get more help if need be, send them some of those encouraging things. I would encourage you to take at least once a moment, at least once a week. Maybe you're responding to somebody who thinks in need, or maybe you're just saying, listen, I don't know if anybody's having a bad day, but I'm just going to send something out that would hopefully encourage somebody that's going to have a bad day. Be proactive about it, right? Different blessings that can have. There's dangers, as with anything in life. We have to count the cost, but if we use it responsibly, so much good can come from that. Proverbs 27 and verse 19 again says, as in water, face reflects face, so the heart of man reflects man. The crucible is for silver, the furnace is for gold, and a man is tested by his praise. We're looking for our hearts in these things. If you're considering using or plugging into some kind of social media, I hope these lessons have at least helped you counter that cost, right? How to navigate that from a scriptural perspective. Maybe you're already using it and you're deciding to continue to use it. Again, I hope these have helped, can help you learn how to navigate it in such a way that keeps you in the right balance, not only personally, but most importantly with the Lord. If you're not and you still don't plan to, remember, it may not be social media, but all these same principles apply to so many other things that we use, we spend our time doing, equally as important to us. And that we also have a responsibility to be shining lights around us. We also have a responsibility to do good. We also have a responsibility to share. If you're with us tonight and you need some encouragement because you have some things going on, you want us to simply pray for you and pray with you, we want to do that. Maybe you're with us and you want to know more about a particular topic. You want to know more about what it means to obey the gospel. We're ready to answer that question as well. Thank you for being here tonight. Think about these things we're saying as we sing this song.